Welcome, everybody, to You Get the Blessing. This is Bo Mitchell, my co-host Bob Belts, and we are celebrating the coming of the sun.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
Welcome, everybody. Wake up. Good to have you.
Here comes the sun.
Written by
George Harrison.
See, the guy knows everything.
Bo, you appear to be in a very upbeat, positive mood today. And you know, and I think I'll post a picture online of your attire and your unique way of wearing a set of headphones.
I've got my hairspray on, and I'm freezing. So I had the collar up, the button buttoned, and I don't want that picture to show up anywhere.
You know, it goes with my collection of Bo Mitchell pictures.
Yeah, so. You're killing me. When's that showing? Just do it at my funeral. Then I won't have to notice it.
No, because I'd probably be gone by the time of your funeral.
Well, this is You Get the Blessing, and sorry about that earlier voice I was using, but I'm waking up now. Our guest today is Jim Dinges. Jim, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me.
You're going to be fun to interview here in just a minute, but first let's talk about a scripture that says, forsake not the gathering together of the saints. That means we ought to be getting together, folks. So you want to be a Bronco fan, go to Mile High Stadium. You want to get your life better, get some life-changing information, get out of bed this morning and every morning and meet with Christians. We do it on Sundays. We call it church. Amen. And let's talk about Highline for a minute.
Yeah, we, as most of our listeners probably know from you repeatedly promoting us, which we encourage. I am senior pastor at Highline Community Church. And, you know, Bo, this is like a big Sunday for us because it's almost like the beginning of football season in the sense that, you know, during the summertime, a lot of people are away and most churches, you know, have a little bit smaller attendance. And we like to kind of kick off the fall in a big way with kind of a back to church Sunday. And at Highline, that's this week. And one of the things I've really encouraged people, and I would encourage any of you out there listening, is that, you know, if you don't have a place, like Bo has said, we'd really invite you to come and join us at 10:15. We're located a block south of Hamden on Colorado Boulevard, and kickoff Sunday, along with some great worship with Biff Gore, our soon-to-be famous worship leader that we can't talk about, but you know, the star of rock. What do they call it now? Anyway, Rock and Roll Boot Camp or something. It's code. It's code, but we can't talk about it.
Biff is a great singer and a great worship leader.
We have
and
a great
kind
band
of involved in a national television show that we can't talk about.
Can't talk
but you're going to get to know him. Why not know him sooner rather than later by coming to church today?
That's right. And and we're a teaching church, so we spend time helping you understand the Bible and believe that God will use that to speak to you. And then Sunday's a brunch Sunday, so twice a month we actually share a meal together afterwards, and we'd invite you to stay for that too. So, again, if you're kind of drifting or you've gotten away from church or you've had bad experiences in the past and think it's a boring deal, we'd invite you to come, and I think you'll have a great morning, 10:15.
Yeah, it's a good word, and wow. So spiritually fed first by the smartest man in the world, Bob Belts, and then great brunch by the Brunch Bunch, who serves up a great
meal. It's actually been said that it is the greatest brunch in the world.
All right.
Yes, that we've brought in the greatest cooks in the world to fix our brunch. And Biff, of course, is the greatest worship leader in the world.
Amen.
So, all around.
You're sounding like Donald Trump.
Now, I'm not going to
tell you. Donald Trump of the Christian world.
I'd also just say that the statistics and research have shown that the size of Highline is actually the perfect size church.
Good.
Yeah,
perfect location.
Not too big, not too small. Perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So just to make it even
with
more
room
perfect.
For just a few more.
Yes. So come along, folks, just off the corner of Colorado and Hampton, 10:15. You Get the Blessing exists as a program every Sunday morning to bless you because you've tuned in today by introducing you to friends that we think are making a great impact for the kingdom of Christ in the world. So our guest today, Jim Dinges, is a director of outdoor leadership programs at Colorado Christian University. Jim, let's start by just having you talk a little bit about your background, where you grew up, and what your family life was like.
Sure, Bo. I actually grew up in New England. I'm one of, you know, several million carpetbaggers to move to Colorado. Been here about 18 years. Love it. I'm blessed in marriage for my wife, Teresa. We've been married 11 years.
Always a good thing to do, by the way. Mention your wife's name on your radio broadcast.
Oh, well, good.
Allison Belts, Gary Mitchell, Teresa.
Teresa Dungis, yep, my biggest ministry supporter, my best friend after Jesus.
Absolute good stuff. All right, so when did you come in contact with the Lord?
Ooh, well, that's, I love to share this. I got to tell you that the guy you're looking at is a completely different creation than the one that existed 18 years ago.
2 Corinthians 5:17, I believe, says that, doesn't it? Does it? Is that the address?
You got 2 Corinthians 5:17. Yep. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation.
Boom.
The old's gone, the new's come. Boy, you're right on it today, Bo.
Unbelievable.
People need to get to this church. I've heard about it at Colorado and Hamden.
Yeah.
I think Sunday.
South of Hamden.
Okay,
south. Because the one right at Colorado and Hamden you don't want to go to.
Oh, no.
I shouldn't say it
Let's
that
get
way.
The direction.
Not the Nazarene one, which is just to the west. Those guys are great guys.
But, we like those guys.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't talking about them. I was talking about the third.
That we don't know them.
We don't know
well.
Anybody there, no. But anyway.
So anyway, what the old guy look like before the new creation?
Oh, my goodness. I didn't grow up in a Christian family. And by the time I got out of college, I was working as a professional. I was an environmental scientist. I had a good career. I worked for several Fortune 500 companies as a senior project manager. I was doing well at that.
What's wrong with that?
Well, that's good, except I was a Christian hater. I thought Christians were all flat-earth-believing, knuckle-dragging troglodytes who just wanted to impose their values upon me.
And of course, turns out? You were right on, pal.
Except for the troglodyte part.
Yeah. Well, you know, when the word talks about you are made new, you become a new creation. I know that in my case to be literally true. I experience that. When people tell me that miracles don't happen anymore, I love to respond to that because I know from my own experience, miracles happen. God is in the business of completely transforming lives because he did that to me. He took someone who was a Christian hater, and now I'm just so sold out for him. I'm blessed to be working at great university and trying to raise up the next generation of outdoor leaders to help other people come to know Christ and become more Christ-like for the sake of others to his glory.
So tell us a little bit about the story of how that happened.
Yeah. You know, people come to Christ different ways, of course. Some it may be like a slowly blooming rose, and they may look back and not be sure exactly when it happened. Others, like me, it's like a bee sting. You can remember exactly where you were and what happened. And so for me, it was on Mount Hood in Oregon.
Heck were you doing up there, by the way?
Well, trying to climb the darn thing, you know? God has a thing for mountains. I don't know, if you ever picked up that theme, the motif of ascent that goes all through God's word.
Fishing, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's big into fishing.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway.
We're tough to follow, aren't we?
I love it. There's no keeping up with you guys.
Don't get distracted here. No, just kidding.
Yeah. For me.
You're on Mount Hood.
Yeah, right. I can look back and I know that God had put other believers in my life. And he was, of course, working in my life, but I was oblivious to it. For me, he had to break me to get my attention, to break me of my pride. And for me, it was hard times. My mom died suddenly. I had never experienced a death before. I had just moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico, took a job there, and just a few months after I moved there, the company I was working for lost the contract that was employing me, so I got laid off abruptly, broke up with my girlfriend at the time. And so what do? Well, I just called my longtime mountaineering partner and said, his name's Dave Lesh, he's a great man. I said, Dave, we need to get together. Let's go climb something. And we were trying to do the state high points, all the different high points of each state, and we hadn't done Oregon before, so we flew up to Oregon, and I had been mountaineering with Dave for I don't know, 8 or 10 years. And I remember the very first time I got together with him, we're sharing a tent together, and I'm reading some stupid book, you know, so-and-so's Climb of Mount Doom or some mountaineering book. You know? and I look over, and he's got one of those small pocket New Testaments.
Uh-oh.
And my first thought was, oh, no, one of those Christian wackos. and I lit into him, and he just smiled back and had great responses for anything I gave him. He was a mature Christian man. And over the years, we became great friends, and I knew him to be someone with great integrity and wisdom. So when I'm at the end of my rope, who do I call? My climbing buddy, because I just felt a need to have those conversations again, because I sort of felt something big was coming, but I got hung up because I wanted to give my life to Jesus, but I still didn't understand some things. I was afraid of getting the thumbs down from the one who created thumbs. I thought, I know I'm not.
Hang on, I got to write that one down.
I know I'm not leading a good life. I know I'm a pathetic sinner, that word that Christians use. You know, I'm making a mess of my life, even though I have this professional life that on the outside looks good. And I was desperate. I was thinking very dark thoughts, like, if this is it, there's no reason to continue. I might as well just chuck myself off a cliff. I was so down in the pit.
Mom had died, broken up with your girlfriend,
got
laid off your job.
Yep.
And here you got an angel by the name of Dave,
yep,
sitting there with the right style at the right moment God had preordained for you.
Mm-hmm. So we go up to Mount Hood, and it was snowing hard at the time. It was early spring, and there's a little ski area in Mount Hood. So because of the avalanche hazard, we couldn't climb that day, and so we went skiing. And I remember I love skiing, but I could care less that day. I just shushed down and wait for him because I want to get on the lift because it was time to Dave. So tell me about how does prayer work? You know, if he's omnipotent and everything's predestined, then how does prayer work? And tell me again about the Trinity and how is this 3-in-1 thing? And how is the Bible, you know, divinely inspired if men wrote it? And on, all these typical questions, you know, that new Christians might have and the problem of good and evil and such. And Dave's just got this Cheshire Cat grin all day. And it wasn't until that evening I knew what I had to do. I had to speak to God. And I had to tell him where I was at and that I was ready and willing to give my life to him completely. And I just couldn't do it. I didn't know how to start a relationship with the one I'd basically given the finger to my whole life. And, I mean, the middle finger. And
we got it, and yeah, we're certainly, yeah, glad you clarified it for those
that's
in the radio,
right,
who might have missed it.
Yes, and so finally, it was actually the next morning, Dave's like, well, you got to do it yourself. I'm going to bed. And the next morning, I got on my knees at Timberline Lodge on Mount Hood, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and it was literally like a refrigerator off my back.
Wow.
Literally. I mean, I didn't even have a context for what was happening to me. I got an immediate infilling of the Spirit, and up the mountain we went.
So why is God used brokenness like that with us, Bob? So listeners today that are feeling like, well, my mom hadn't died, and I haven't gotten laid off. My girlfriend hadn't broke up with me, but I still feel just as down as Jim's describing. Why does God use those times?
You know, I actually think there are, you know, there's different doors that, you know, that people need to open, you know, and for some it's an intellectual issue and simply understanding all the facts. Like you were not really broken and down, but the message when you understood it, I remember, you know, you saying, why in the world would you not do that? You know, that makes a lot of sense to me. But I do think in a lot of people's lives it is times of need or crisis that there's a degree of humility involved in saying, you know what? I'm not God. God is God, and I need him. Mm-hmm. And I think that difficult times in our life, you know, bring us to that point. Someone once used the illustration that our life is like an island, and Jesus sails around it looking for a point of need where he can land. And so I think I think for a lot of people that it's in those times of great difficulty. And I think that when it is a time of great difficulty and God really comes in power like he did in your life, then, you know, the experience is much more profound than kind of when it's a gradual process through the years or whatever. So, and it's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. So from that day, life has been nothing but easy, correct?
Yeah.
Isn't that how it works?
Yeah. That's right. Well, you know, I got my ticket to heaven punched, so, you know.
Now we can go back to all the nonsense.
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, he still puts challenges into our life all the time, and that's how he grows us. I mean, I remember one time Jesus went up on a mountainside to pray and sent his disciples across the Galilee. And do you think he knew they were in a storm, rowing until the third or fourth watch of the evening? Of course he did. And that's just another great example of, you know, think of what it must have been like for those guys. They must have been terrified, exhausted, out in the storm. And that's what
Clueless.
He had to do to give them, I would have been like Peter, a moron, I'm sure. But, you know, that's what he does. He puts us through difficult tests and trials. He never tempts us, but he does challenge us. He tests us. And that's how he grows us, this side of heaven.
So this is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. Co-host is Bob Belt today. And our guest is Jim Dinges from Colorado Christian University, Director of Outdoor Leadership Programs there. And he's sharing about his life and his conversion to Christ. So we pray that this program would make things less confusing as you hear stories like Jim's, which is just a simple story of somebody that's down and thinking, I don't want to go that way, and seeking God, and God is right there waiting for us in the person of Jesus Christ, and we can enter into a relationship if we just say yes. It's not any more complicated than that, is it, Bob? It
really isn't, because you know, even the biblical language of, you know, repentance and some of these words that sound scary, you know, to us maybe, or have been loaded with, you know, unnecessary baggage. To repent simply means you change your mind, and it's, you know, you've been saying no, and you're maybe, you know, you're off direction somehow, and you make a slight turn, look at God and say yes, and open your life to Him and invite Christ in, and that's the beginning.
You know, I'm feeling really weird about this because I've been involved in baseball since I was 5 years old. 60 years, and when Todd Helton recently got his 2,500 base hit, he hit the ball down the left field line, he raced to second, and someone asked me, had he been tagged out at second, would that still have been a single, and would that have been his 2,500 hit? And I said, no, he made the choice to try to make it a double. Mm-hmm. It's not a single, it had been an out. And that is 100% wrong. And I would bet my life on it. And when I call somebody to say, am I right about this? The guy said, no, you're completely wrong. If you hit a single, touch first base, you're running to second, or a double, you're running to third, and then get thrown out, it doesn't erase the fact that you have a hit. So Todd Helton would have had his 2,500 hit, but he'd have been standing in the dugout out at second. And the fact that I was so wrong on that made me think it is interesting. It's tough to say, I was positive of that. I know that. I've lived it for 60 years, and how did I forget it or get confused on it? But sometimes that happens when people really don't want to say, oops, maybe I am doing this the wrong way, and maybe there is an alternative here in terms of Christ and the things of the Scripture.
You know, we got a great gal at Highline, she's 95, and Jean Barron, one of the neatest women really I've ever met, and she really has this amazing relationship with God, and she was 80 when she, you know, realized, and, you know, and I think, and I'm probably reading a little bit into this, but I was just thinking of, you know, maybe for 80 years, her thought was, I've got to be good enough. There's things I've got to do, or maybe thinking, I haven't been good enough, you know, and then to understand grace, that it's not what we've done, but what He's done for us.
And she's thinking, like Jim said, I'm going to get a thumbs down from the one who invented thumbs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And suddenly to understand that it wasn't about her, you know, it was about God's love and Jesus, and to open her life to Him. And so from 80 to 95, she's just had this remarkable relationship with Christ.
So if you don't understand what we're saying, we hope that helps a little bit. Go to church this morning, you'll understand more. And now, Jim, tell us about outdoor leadership programs. What's it mean? What do you do now with your life? You're not only walking with the Lord, but you're part of an incredible Christian university under the leadership of Bill Armstrong. So tell us what your end of that team looks like.
Yeah, I am blessed, and we're blessed to have Bill Armstrong as our leader, and I am blessed in my job. I direct the outdoor leadership programs, and what that is three different 18-credit minors. So it's not a full major, but it's a minor. But more important to that is, what are we trying to accomplish? Like, what is outdoor leadership? We feel we're following a biblical basis of getting people outside, getting them outside their comfort zones, and it's for the purpose of spiritual transformation, to move them from wherever they're at with Christ towards their potential in Christ, leadership development, character formation, and along the way we'll teach them outdoor skills too, because if they want to get jobs in the outdoor industry, which is a huge part of the American economy now, you know, a pioneering witness for Christ in the workplace, of course, it's competency. And so we want our students to be good.
So what?
So you,
you
take them up Mount Kilimanjaro and get them into a life-threatening situation, and then say, "Hey, you know,
lead your way out of
that's
them.
Right. If you want to get back down, no, anyway, yeah,
something good. Like that." You know, interesting. You mentioned Kili, because the prestigious Wharton School of Business has a class where they take students up Kilimanjaro.
Well, you've done that, haven't you?
Yeah,
it seems like you've
I've been up Kili a couple times, and we have a course at CCU, and next year we'll be taking students up Kilimanjaro. Now, even secular schools like Wharton.
I've been to the top of Castle Rock, by the way, which it's
nice.
Close. It's not quite as high. But
anyway. Is it true that one out of four people that climb Kilimanjaro die?
No.
It's not true.
Is that Everest?
That'd be something like one of 8,000-meter peak, like Everest or K2.
Because I was thinking you'd hate to be the fourth guy to be in
the
group.
If one out of four planes went down, how many of us would fly, right? But
exactly.
Anyway.
Not me.
Anyway.
So Kilimanjaro is easy, you're saying.
Yeah, and in mountaineering parlance, it's what's called a walk-up. But it'll be a stern challenge for my students. Now, the point is, you know, Wharton takes its students up there. There's probably not a lot of Jesus talk, I'm guessing, at a place like Wharton or Harvard or Columbia. All these schools have business schools that include outdoor programming. But their program's not built on the rock of Christ, doesn't use scriptural principles that they teach. There's not the authentic community of the body of Christ, and the power of the Spirit isn't going with them. So our program at Colorado Christian University is actually, we think, just infinitely more powerful in its ability to transform lives and prepare leaders. So that's really what it's about. I just use an outdoor classroom. You know, when you think about it, a lot of the superstars of the Bible had transformative wilderness experiences. Think about Abraham. Think about David. Think about Peter, John, and James.
Moses.
Think about Moses. Think about our Lord.
Yeah. Christ. Yeah.
Luke 4:1 says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and where he faced the temptations. And then 13 verses later, it says he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. And only then did his public ministry begin. So it seemed even formative for our Lord. He had a pattern in his life of retreating from people to commune with the Father, and then that was always followed by getting back into engaging with community, and then amazing miracles would happen.
So in our closing moments here, thank you for the sharing of your life and the transformative experience you had on Mount Hood. Thank you for the leadership you're providing at CCU for these kids. What do we need? We need more students to enroll? Do we need people to donate money to CCU so you can buy more equipment? What are some needs you might express?
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Of course, we always go through gear. Gear doesn't last forever. And our vision is to raise up leaders that can actually partner with any inner city ministries in Denver and take kids that have never been to the mountains and take them up there, get them out of their regular environment, take them up the mountains and introduce them to their Lord and Savior.
What's a way someone can contact you?
Call me at Colorado Christian University. You can contact me directly at 303-594-8113 or send me an email, jdoenges@ccu.edu.
So somebody's listening, and you're a mountain climber, you're an outdoors type person, which I'm not, Bob is, and Jim obviously is, but $1,000 or $3,500 or $10,000, this guy would put you to use and would put that money to use to bless kids, transform lives, and you'd get the blessing if you jumped in at that level. So is this a fundraiser? Yes. Are we taking this personally? Yeah, we're the only ones in the room. It is personal. And you can take it personally, too, if you'll get involved. So
amen.
Give all that info again, Jim.
You can reach me at 303-594-8113, or you can email me at jdoenges@ccu.edu.
And you're doing good things at a good place there, Colorado Christian University. Bob, any closing thoughts?
No, just I was just thinking, if you know, those of you that are listening, you might know young college-age students that haven't figured out what they want to do, where they want to go, and CCU is a great place, and make sure that you you check it out.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
All right, thanks. You've been a great guest, and blessings to you, Jim.
Thanks, Bo. Thanks,
Bo. Let's go to church.
Let's do it, and see you folks here next week. Thanks for tuning in.